Chapter 15. Could give you as that squinting kitty spun, she was a rare girl to spin, for all she squinted, and the children couldn't abide her. And, you know, the spinning's going on constant, and there's new linen wove twice as fast as the old wears out. But where's the use o' talking, if he wanna be persuaded, and settle down like any other woman in her senses, istid o' wearing yourself out with walking and preaching, and giving away every penny you get, so as you've nothing saved against sickness. And all the things you've got i' the world, I verily believe, 'ud go into a bundle no bigger nor a double cheese. And all because you've got notions i' your head about religion more nor what's i' the catechism and the prayer book. But not more than what's in the Bible, and, said Dinah. Yes, and the Bible too, for that matter, Mrs. Poyser rejoined, rather sharply. Else why shouldn't them as know best what's in the Bible the parsons and people as have got nothing to do but learn it do the same as you do? But, for the matter o' that, if everybody was to do like you, the world must come to a standstill. For if everybody tried to do without house and home, and with poor eating and drinking, and was allays talking as we must despise the things o' the world as you say, I should like to know where the pick o' the stock, and the corn, and the best new milk cheeses 'ud have to go. Everybody 'ud be wanting bread made o' tail ends, and everybody 'ud be running after everybody else to preach to 'em, istid o' bringing up their families, and laying by against a bad harvest. It stands to sense as that can't be the right religion. Nay, dear aunt, you never heard me say that all people are called to forsake their work and their families. It's quite right the land should be plowed and sowed, and the precious corn stored, and the things of this life cared for, and right that people should rejoice in their families, and provide for them, so that this is done in the fear of the Lord, and that they are not unmindful of the soul's wants, while they are caring for the body. We can all be servants of God, wherever our lot is cast, but he gives us different sorts of work, according as he fits us for it, and calls us to it. I can no more help spending my life in trying to do what I can for the souls of others, than you could help running, if you heard little Toddy crying at the other end of the house. The voice would go to your heart, you would think the dear child was in trouble or in danger, and you couldn't rest without running to help her and comfort her. Ah, said Mrs. Poyser, rising, and walking towards the door, I know it 'ud be just the same, if I was to talk to you for hours. You'd make me the same answer, at th end. I might as well talk to the running brook, and tell it to stand still. The causeway outside the kitchen door was dry enough now for Mrs. Poyser to stand there quite pleasantly, and see what was going on in the yard, the gray worsted stocking making a steady progress in her hands all the while. But as he had not been standing there more than 5 minutes, before she came in again, and said to Dinah, in rather a flurried, awe-stricken tone, if there isn't Captain Donathan and Mr. Irwin a-coming into the yard. I'll lay my life they're come to speak about your preaching on the green, Dinah. It's you must answer em, for I'm dumb. I've said enough arity about your bringing such disgrace you owe your uncle's family. I wouldn't ha' minded, if you'd been Mr. Poyser's own niece folks must put up why their own kin, as they put up why their own noses it's their own flesh and blood. But to think of a niece o' mine being cause o' my husband's being turned out of his farm, and me brought him no fortin, but my savins, nay, dear Aunt Rachel, said Dinah gently, you've no cause for such fears. I've strong assurance that no evil will happen to you, and my uncle and the children from anything I've done. I didn't preach without direction. Direction. I know very well what you mean by direction, said Mrs. Poyser, knitting in a rapid and agitated manner. And there's a bigger maggot than usual in your head you call it direction, and then nothing can stir you, you look like the statio the outside o' treadless in church, a-starin' and a-smilin', whether it's fair weather or foul. I had a common patience with you. By this time the two gentlemen had reached the palings, and had got down from their horses. It was plain they meant to come in. Mrs. Poyser advanced to the door to meet them, curtsying low and trembling between anger with Dinah and anxiety to conduct herself with perfect propriety on the occasion. For in those days the keenest of bucolic minds felt a whispering awe at the sight of the gentry, such as of old men felt when they stood on tiptoe to watch the gods passing by in tall human shape. "Well, Mrs. Poyser, how are you after this stormy morning?" said Mr. Irwin, with his stately cordiality. "Her feet are quite dry. We shall not soil your beautiful floor."
"Oh, sir, don't mention it," said Mrs. Poyser. "Will you and the captain please to walk into the parlor?"
"No, indeed, thank you, Mrs. Poyser," said the captain, looking eagerly round the kitchen, as if his eye were seeking something it could not find. "Delight in your kitchen. I think it is the most charming room I know. I should like every farmer's wife to come and look at it for a pattern."
"Oh, you're pleased to say so, sir. Pray take a seat," said Mrs. Poyser, relieved a little by this compliment and the captain's evident good humor, but still glancing anxiously at Mr. Irwin, who, she saw, was looking at Dinah and advancing towards her.
"Poyser is not at home, is he?" said Captain Donathern, seating himself where he could see along the short passage to the open dairy door.
"No, sir, he isn't. He's gone to Rossiter to see Mr. West, the factor, about the wool. But there's Father I the barn, sir, if he'd be of any use."
"No, thank you. I'll just look at the whelps and leave a message about them with your shepherd. I must come another day and see your husband. I want to have a consultation with him about horses. Do you know when he's likely to be at liberty?"
"Why, sir, you can hardly miss him, except it's so treadless in market day, that's of a Friday, you know. For if he's anywhere on the farm we can send for him in a minute. If we'd got rid of the scantlands, we should have no outlying fields, and I should be glad of it, for if ever anything happens, he's sure to be gone to the scantlands. Things always happen so contrary, if they've a chance, and it's an unnatural thing to have one bit o' your farm in one county and all the rest in another.
Ah, the scantlands would go much better with Joyce's farm, especially as he wants dairy land and you've got plenty. I think yours is the prettiest farm on the estate, though. And do you know, Mrs. Poyser, if I were going to marry and settle, I should be tempted to turn you out and do up this fine old house and turn farmer myself."
"Oh, sir," said Mrs. Poyser, rather alarmed, "you wouldn't like it at all. As for farming, it's putting money into your pocket by your right hand and fetching it out by your left. As far as I can see, it's raising victual for other folks and just getting a mouthful for yourself and your children as you go along. Not as you'd be like a poor man as wants to get his bread. You could afford to lose as much money as you like by farming, but it's poor fun losing money, I should think, though I understand it's what the great folks I London play at more than anything. For my husband heard at market as Lord Dacey's eldest son had lost thousands to the Prince of Wales, and they said my lady was going to pawn her jewels to pay for him. But you know more about that than I do, sir. But, as for farming, sir, I kinda think as you'd like it. And this house the drafts in it are enough to cut you through, and it's my opinion the floors upstairs are very rotten, and the rats I the cellar are beyond anything."
"Why, that's a terrible picture, Mrs. Poyser. I think I should be doing you a service to turn you out of such a place. But there's no chance of that. I'm not likely to settle for the next 20 years, till I'm a stout gentleman of 40, and my grandfather would never consent to part with such good tenants as you."
"Well, sir, if he thinks so well of Mr. Poyser for a tenant, I wish you could put in a word for him to allow us some new gates for the 5 closes, for my husband's been asking and asking till he's tired, and to think, oh, what he's done for the farm, and never had a penny allowed him, be the times bad or good. And as I've said to my husband often and often, I'm sure if the captain had anything to do with it, it wouldn't be so. Not as I wish to speak disrespectful o' them as have got the power i' their hands, but it's more than flesh and blood'll bear sometimes, to be toiling and striving, and up early and down late, and hardly sleeping a wink, when you lie down for thinking as the cheese may swell, or the cows may slip their calf, or the wheat may grow green again, aye the sheaf, and after all, at th end of the year, it's like as if you'd been cooking a feast, and had got the smell of it for your pains. Mrs. Poyser, once launched into conversation, always sailed along without any check from her preliminary awe of the gentry. The confidence she felt in her own powers of exposition was a motive force that overcame all resistance. I'm afraid I should only do harm instead of good, if I were to speak about the gates, Mrs. Poyser, said the captain, though I assure you there's no man on the estate I would sooner say a word for than your husband. I know his farm is in better order than any other within 10 miles of us. And as for the kitchen, he added, smiling, I don't believe there's one in the kingdom to beat it. By the by, I've never seen your dairy. I must see your dairy, Mrs. Poyser. Indeed, sir, it's not fit for you to go in, for Eddie's in the middle o' making the butter, for the churning was thrown late, and I'm quite ashamed. This Mrs. Poyser said blushing, and believing that the captain was really interested in her milk pans, and would adjust his opinion of her to the appearance of her dairy. Oh, I've no doubt it's in capital order. Take me in, said the captain, himself leading the way, while Mrs. Poyser followed. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.